Grab your Bibles. Let's go to Daniel chapter number 6. I know Daniel chapter number 6. If some of you are versed in your Bibles or have been around for a while, it's one of the most famous stories that we tell our children, and you hear it preached a lot. It's Daniel in the lion's den. But we're not going to talk about Daniel in the lion's den today. We're not even going to get there. As I was studying this passage, and typically, I'm going to be honest with you, I have to be more intentional with familiar passages than I have to be with the ones that I haven't really gotten versed in. And I would challenge you to be the same. Don't just go into the Bible and say, oh, I've read this story. Because I've learned this about the Word of God. It is alive. It is not some just words on a page story. It breathes different breaths into my life at different times that I didn't see before or didn't get before, and God will echo through it. Today is going to be one of those sermons that I feel like you're going to have to dial into, because today is going to be real and it's going to be literal. Now, literal is not always something that is received well by the church. We like the emotional more than we like the literal, but the literal is just as important, actually more important than the emotion. Here's why. What is true will always be true, even if you feel like it or not. Even if you believe it or not. Are you with me? I can feel one way about a verse, but it doesn't matter about my feelings. What is, is. What God's word means, it means. And what God's word says and wants to accomplish, it will do. And so therefore, whether I feel it or not, it's still real in my life. We're raising a generation that's making most of their decisions on their feelings. Matter of fact, we have spent about a month with our teenagers on Wednesday nights talking about their minds. Four things you do with your mind. You got to shift it, the Bible says. You got to focus it, all right? Fix your thoughts. You've got to expand those thoughts. You got to meditate on the Word of God. And you also have to express it. If you don't share the gospel, then the gospel dies in the church, and it can't do that. We are to be a go church, a driven church to get the gospel out so that the lost could hear it. But we've said this in grace a lot. And I want you to get it. If you're not careful, you make decisions based on the wrong things. So we say it this way. My thoughts produce my feelings. My feelings produce my actions. Would you say that with me? My thoughts produce my feelings. My feelings produce my actions. The Bible says that of the abundance of the heart, what speaks? The mouth. So whatever I'm allowing to develop in here will eventually come out here. So somebody that's mad today has had anger tucked down deep inside, or betrayal, or bitterness, or something that has soured the pool of which they're drawing their words. And so I want you to understand this and maybe break it down. If you think about it, you'll become about it. And if you'll become about it, you'll be it. If I allow my mind to stay somewhere, it will become my reality. And once it becomes my reality, I make my decisions through it. So it's like this. If you've not ever had much in your life, right? Maybe you were raised poor, or maybe you were raised, I was raised on hand-me-down clothes. Y'all remember that statement? Hand-me-down. I mean, this person wore it, then this person wore it. I was a third child, so by the time it got to me, it was worn four times. My younger brother, and I don't want to shame my parents. My younger brother was terminally ill, still is, but by the grace of God, some miracles have happened in his life. But he was very expensive, and his health care was very expensive, making us a very poor family. My dad was a pastor, and you just didn't make much, all right? And so he had four children. My parents had four children. We literally got clothes once other families got rid of clothes, which, by the way, can I tell you this? It would do you a lot of good to go clean out your closet and give it away. It would do a lot of good, because you never know. What is your junk is somebody's nice. You know what I mean? What is yours let's put it this way. What you wore last year or 20 pounds ago would make somebody's day. It really would. I had to throw that little zinger in there because half my closet doesn't fit. All right, anyway, here we go. The thing is you never know. So I was a fourth generation clothes wearer. So when I got out and got my own job, you know what I started spending all my money on? Clothes. And if you're not careful, I became about this idea that I was raised poor, but when I had an opportunity, I was going to make it to where nobody ever made fun of my clothes again. Are you with me? If you're not careful, you'll become about something that means nothing. And you'll waste a lot of your resource, your time, and your energy trying to be something that doesn't even matter. And now I look back at my life. I used to share the story. Every Tuesday was when Walmart released their DVDs. So every Tuesday, that's back when DVDs mattered, all right? Now you got downloads and digital. You don't have to leave. All you young kids are spoiled, rotten, all right? But we actually had to go to Walmart when I was a kid, all right? Now you just get them to come to your door. But anyway, all right, so I remember every Tuesday I'd be standing in line to buy every new DVD that came out. And I thought I was the coolest person in the world because I had this huge DVD collection. And now I look back and I'm like, $20 a pop really wasted a lot of money. How many of you now at your age wish you could go back to when you started making money and realize the value that money actually had? Anybody in here say yes? All right, how many of you wish you knew how important your credit was? Say yes. How many of you wish that you would have never gotten debt in the first place? Amen, right? Okay, now that we got you all depressed about your financial standing, all right, let's go to this. I want you to understand this. If you're not careful, you'll look at your debt and you'll become about it. And then you'll work your life away and you'll be a debt payer or you'll be a purchaser. Now you see how easy that is? Anybody else spring for the ice cream when you're down and depressed? Where's my emotional eaters at? Let me hear you. All right, we're here. It's half the auditorium. All right. Meet me at Taco Bell. All right, here we go. All right, the thing is this. Listen, you got to train your mind. Isn't that what the Bible says? Train it, train it, train it. It doesn't go naturally to good areas. You got to train it. You got to fix it. Literalness is this. What I let in will come out. We tell people all the time, if you don't talk it out, you will take it out. If you don't talk it out with someone or God, you will take it out on yourself and others. Thoughts produce feelings. Feelings produce actions. I'm going to say this, and Phil and I had this conversation. I shared it with you a few months ago, but it was so good. Let's bring it back up. Feelings should not be the engine to your car. It should not be where your decisions start. It should not be where your relationships start. It should not be anything that fuels you, because your feelings will change. Matter of fact, write it down in your notes if you haven't already got it. Feelings should be the results of good decisions. It should not be the thing that makes you decide. Because there's going to be one day you want to slap your husband in the face. And there's the laughter of the people that are there today. All right? Am I right? All right? There's going to be days that you want to leave or quit your job. Your feelings will tell you all kinds of things, will they not? Some of your feelings will say, it's rainy, let's not go to church. Shout out to people online. I'm just kidding. All right? If you're shut in, that was bad. We love you. That you just lost the whole online crew. They're all like logging out. All right? But no, the thing is that your feelings will say, I'm just tired, I'm going to stay in bed. And your feelings will cost you opportunities. Your feelings will make you miss God's call in your life. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. Jesus went to a cross he didn't feel like going to. If you read the Garden of Gethsemane, he wasn't feeling it. I mean, we said it earlier. If there's another way, let this cup what? Pass. He wasn't like, God, I'm so thankful for this life you gave me. It'd be like you coming in and getting on your knees in front of God today and saying, I'm so thankful for cancer. No, but maybe that's a cup you're drinking today, right? Some of you foster kids may not be thankful to the fact that you're in the foster system. The cup you're drinking might not be producing good feelings, but the call that you've been called to is going to produce supernatural works. Some of you foster children are going to get adopted by wonderful parents and be raised in loving homes and given opportunities that you never would have been given before. Some of you addicts that are sitting in the room today or listening online are going to find freedom to where you're not putting something in your veins because Jesus' blood is fully flowing through it. All right? You're going to understand that, hey, there's a different life outside of where your feelings are, and we have got to get into the realities of life. And so today, can we just say, let's get real. And at the beginning of Daniel chapter number 6, matter of fact, can we jump to the last verse? All right, I'm going to throw you a curveball, Casey. Go to the very last verse of the chapter, verse number 28. It says this, so Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Read that with me out loud. Ready? So Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. In other words, it's like this. Daniel has consistently prospered in four different captivity kings. Under four different roles, four different mindsets, four different people. How many of you, when your boss changes at work, you kind of freak out a little bit? All right? When something new comes into your life. Anybody else in here say, I am not a fan of change? All right? If you are a fan of change, I'm going to tell you what you are. You are weird. All right? That's the thing. Change is never easy and it's never good. I mean, there's certain things. Hey, I'll be honest with you. Some of your attitudes, they need to change, all right? But in order for that to happen, you're going to have to be open to what God wants to do in your life. Some of you, but here's the thing. Change doesn't come comfortably. And Daniel has now gone through four major changes. And here it is. Write it down. He's still Daniel. The same Daniel we found in chapter number 1. He's the same person we found at the beginning saying, we're not going to eat the king's meat. We're not going to compromise our standards. We're not going to compromise our beliefs. We're not going to change who we are. But even in the face of the leader saying, hey, buddy, I love you, but if you start eating this other food and you get unhealthy, he's going to kill me. And Daniel says, I don't care. Let us prove who God is. You give us this, and we'll eat what we know is right, and we'll set up this diet, and we'll do these things, and you watch, and you judge, and at the end, let's see who's more healthy. And I'm going to be honest with you. We need a people today that have a mindset that says, hey, we're going to do it God's way even if it's not popular, and we're going to do it God's way even if it doesn't make sense and it's not comfortable, because we truly believe that God is going to keep his word. And on the other side of this unbelievable experience that we're about to go through, on the other side of this incredible challenge that we're about the face, we believe that what God says he'll do, he will do. Just watch. And so here we are, and go to the very beginning. Darius the Mede decided to divide the kingdoms into 120 provinces. He appointed a high officer to rule over each province. There's 120 leaders. The king also chose Daniel and two other as administrators to supervise the high officers and to protect the king's interest. Now, I'm going to tell you this right now. Robbie brought this up in one of our youth classes just a couple weeks ago on Wednesday night. I love when the teens start talking God, you know you're getting somewhere. And he brought up a thing with 2 Corinthians 5:20, where it says we are ambassadors. You know, and we've taught this lesson about 7 years ago. We taught the lesson on an ambassador is given the full authority of the kingdom. What the ambassador says represents the king himself. And if God says you are the ambassadors, you are the ambassador from the throne of heaven. And what you say and what I say should represent God himself. And as we speak, we have the authority of heaven backing our words. And as we do, we have the authority of heaven backing what we do. You are not called today to be a little peasant in the kingdom. You are called today to carry the full gospel, not just to the cross, but beyond the empty grave, that Jesus didn't just resurrect you so that you could be saved. He resurrected you so you could become a resurrector and you could go out through the world in the highways and hedges and compel people and see their lives change. Your salvation does not stop with your heart being secure. Your salvation continues to the securing of other people's hearts to Jesus. And here it is, we're called, and God is making us these ambassadors to do good works and to do good things. And here it is, Daniel is here to protect the king's interest. The Grace Community Church is here for one reason, to protect the word of God, to stand firm and to stand bold, to preach it, even when people look at you like they hate you. And believe me, if you're standing where I'm staying, you would see some of those faces right now. All right, the thing is even if people don't care, if you're standing where I'm standing, you would see some of that right now. The truth is hey, it doesn't matter who gets it and who doesn't. We're not going to choose who gets to receive it. We're going to set the table and invite anybody that wants to eat. We can't force feed you. We can't make you take the gospel, but I promise you this. If you will taste of the goodness of God, you will become addicted and you will want more. And it is there. It is for you. It is not for just one or two. It's not for the best in the building today. It's not for the most behaved. It's for the radical. It's for the rebellious. It's for the prodigal today. God has set a table. And he is called, come and dine. Anybody that wants to, taste of the Lord. See that he is good. And watch what the goodness of God can do in your life. And then watch what it can do through it. We're here to protect the king's interest. Here's the sermon today, and I hope you'll grab it. Daniel soon proved himself more capable than all the other administrators and high officers. Because of Daniel's great ability, in the King James Version, you know what it says? There was an exceptional spirit in him. All right, isn't that a good word? Because of this excellent spirit that was in him. Because of this, the king made plans to place him over the entire empire. Hey, I want to talk to you that are exhausted today. By the way, I'm going to pull up my own seat to this table and sit down. I'm pretty tired too. The Bible says that because of Daniel's great ability, the King James puts it, because of the spirit that was in him, he was promoted. Let me say it one more time. Because of what God had planted in him, he was promoted. Not because of anything he developed. And not because of anything he did. Some of us today are sitting in this room or watching online completely exhausted because we're trying to grow talents and abilities. We're trying to develop skills in our lives to be able to get ahead, to be able to make the money that we need to make instead of tying into the ability that God has given us. All that we know about Daniel's abilities at this point is he can interpret dreams. That Daniel can tell people what God's dreams mean. And because Daniel was so bought into what God's call was on his life, God used his spiritual call to promote him in a secular world. Are you following me today? Some of you today need to find more than anything the spiritual gifts that God has put on your life. I want you to write this down when it comes to your spiritual gifts. Don't create them. Don't claim to be something you're not. Paul would put it this way. He said, evaluate yourself fairly. Don't think you're better than you are. All right, there's certain things I do not do well. Somebody made a cake. Vincent's a great cake maker. Sorry to put you on the spot. This family right here makes wonderful cakes right behind Phil and Cindy. All right, they could have their own bakery. All right, they may. I don't know. They should. All right, anyway, it's good. So today, and I'm going to let the cat out of the bag, they made a cake for my wife. I was like, I'm just going to go home and tell her I made it. She's going to know it's a lie, but I'm just going to say, hey, I made you a cake. The truth is it is very real in my life that I am the worst cook that has ever lived on the face of the planet. Last time I remember trying to actually cook was macaroni and cheese when I was in college on an electric stove and boiling the water, the oven caught on fire, the stove top caught on fire, and being uneducated in my cooking endeavors, I thought water plus fire equals fire out, and I flipped the pot over to put the electrical fire out, and I learned this valuable lesson. Water on an electrical fire goes boom. So next thing you know, I'm illegally disarming the smoke detectors in an apartment complex, and the fire department quickly let me know that that was not legal, as the flames then became a bonfire on the top of my stove in my kitchen. I don't cook. All right, you follow the logic? It doesn't happen. Now, can I say this? Cooking is something anybody can learn to do, right? Maybe not well, but you could learn how to survive. I can use a toaster oven. I can use an air fryer, and I love whoever made the microwave. All right, that's the truth. So I could survive, not on good food, but I could survive on food if I had to. All right, but the thing is it's not something that I'm going to pursue. You're never going to hear me stand up in front of you and say, I'm opening a restaurant. If you ever hear those words, somebody sit me down and say, you're out of the will of God. I mean, that's pretty much it. You're out of the will of God. That's not what God's called you to do. And I think it's an honest fact that we have a lot of people that are exhausted in their faith and are exhausted in life because they're trying to create a will of God for their life instead of obeying the will of God for their life. Are you following me? Some people say, well, here's the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I want this one. It's a gift from the Holy Spirit. You don't choose it. You accept it. Are you following? I think a lot of people say, well, I want this and this, and if I have this, I'm more spiritual. If I don't have this, I'm not spiritual. And you see religions even build around that. We're not going to pick on religions today. But the reality is this. If it's a gift, you didn't buy it. You didn't create it. You didn't develop it. It's given to you. The only thing you can do is surrender to it, take it, receive it, open it, use it. It's like Christmas at your house, your birthday at your house. You open a present you did not buy. You have a content that you did not develop or did not even plan. You just have to make the choice if this is going to now become a part of your life. You know, and I don't know if you remember anybody else ever had the grandma that made the wool sweaters and knitted them. All right, you know what I'm talking about? The ones that when you put on, it's like your whole body broke out in a rash. I mean, it was itchy, and it was hot, and it was nasty. And shout out to the grandmas. Y'all are awesome, but I don't mean that bad. But I do not like hand-wooled sweaters and wearing those. I don't like itchy collars. Anybody say amen with me today? All right. Don't ever make those. All right, you got it? Don't ever. Somebody's going to show up with one. All right, but anyway, here it is. The thing that I have to do once I pull that sweater out is make a decision. Am I ever going to wear this? Now, if it's made by your grandma, you better keep it. And you better wear it when you're around your grandma. But what you can do is you can casually wear it, throw it over something with a short sleeves, and when you go to her house, hey, grandma, I love my sweater. I got to take this thing off. It's hot. You know, like, here it is. I love it. But the thing is you do not have to make it a part of your lifestyle. You follow me today? You're with me? I think the Holy Spirit's going to come in like Joe was talking, sitting right here today. He went to a men's conference, and it hit him like nothing had ever hit him before. You know what that is? It's the call of God reaching out and saying, I've got a door for you. Are you going to walk through it? I've got a call for you. Are you going to take it? Some of you have heard Sandy, anytime we open up the floor for anybody got something they want to share on their hearts. How many of you have been here when Sandy Helton has shared? 9 times out of 10, when Sandy Helton shares, she's going to talk about what? Anybody want to take a stab? Foster kids. Foster care, loving children, and taking them in their home. You know why? Because God pierced her heart, called her in, she accepted the call, and now it is who she is. She raises them, they adopt them, they have had 60 plus kids go through their home. Countless amount of those kids have accepted Christ, and a lot of them been adopted out, and some even currently in the process of being adopted by people in this very church. Why does that happen? Because years ago, somebody said, this pierced my heart, God. I don't understand it, but I'll surrender, follow through, and now God just keeps reproducing through it. And in Daniel's life, Daniel had the ability to interpret dreams. And so when a dream needed to interpret it, he interpreted it. And God used that not only to spare kingdoms or to show kingdoms or to lead kingdoms. Daniel is responsible for 4 kings coming to salvation and a faith in God because he used his ability, his excellent spirit that lived in him, lived out of him. And God used that to raise him. I'm warning you, church. I'm telling you now, stop chasing the world to try to find your worth and your value and just surrender to the call of God on your life and watch God use that to use you and raise you up in a secular world to be used in your jobs, in your careers, and around to bring others to him. Hey, America's salvation could lie in your surrender today. If my people would humble, we've talked about it 3 weeks in a row. If my people would repent, if my people would pray, I would hear, I would heal, I would do something in their land. I think a lot of times we come to an altar and say, I'm praying, I'm confessing, now heal. I write this in your notes, and this is radical, but it's true. What if God has desired to heal our nation through you? What if God is saying, if you'll get out, I preached a whole sermon on this, you are the answer to someone's prayers today. There's a grandma praying. You'll talk to the person in the back row. Doesn't even know they're in the back row. But it's praying that somebody will reach their granddaughter. Somebody will reach their grandson. There's a dad. There's a mom praying over their son that's in jail. Praying that somebody will show up and somebody will go in. And when you answer the call, just speak to somebody today. The prayer that they're praying is being answered. And aren't you thankful that instead of just sending invisible things to get things done, God sends physical proof, and I want you to get it. You are the proof that there is a living God. But we will never see a living God till the church comes alive. We will never see him in our nation until our church says, all to Jesus, I surrender. What is it that God has made you good at? I look at this KOZ thing, and those of you that weren't in presence today, we launched a new ministry this morning, and I look at fathers, and it's talking about men leading fatherless boys, and I don't know how to make a fire. Anybody else in here not know how to make a fire, grown men? Can you give me matches and a lighter, I can make a fire. Give me lighter fluid, I can make a big one. Gasoline, we can have some fun. But outside of that, I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to change the oil in my car. Any Me Too men? Okay, I'm the only one. I look at this KOZ and I'm like, there's parts of it that's going to heal some areas of my life. But I really feel like God is calling us to surrender to it. And then through it, he'll heal us while healing others too. I'm not the best at changing a tire. And if I'm not careful, I could sit back here and say, well, God, these are all the things I'm not good at. And God is not calling you to what you're good at. God is calling you to what you're willing to do. He's saying, okay, would you just give me this? Would you give me your time? Would you just show up? Would you just be a part? Would you just go to church this morning? Would you just step outside your comfort zone? Would you just sing a little bit louder than you normally sing on a Sunday? Would you maybe just get out of your seat and go greet somebody? I mean, God, by the way, and I want you to write it down, God is going to see what you're willing to do before he shows you what he wants to do. And God is going to grow you through the willingness of your life. Imagine Nebuchadnezzar calling for somebody to interpret the dream and this death sentence being out there that if you can't tell him the dream, you're going to die, and Daniel being scared that he's going to get it wrong. I don't know about you, but I know God's called me to things in my life, and the first thing I think is I am not good enough to do it. You know, some of you, and I talk about it all the time, would be probably the best children's workers that have ever been, but you have this fear of not being good enough. And matter of fact, I shot a text to my wife, which I've yet to read her reply. I share this with you all the time. You're probably sick of it. Biggest battles of my life, Saturday night, Sunday morning, inadequacies, insecurities, and all those things start building up. And there has to come a point in my life on a Sunday morning that I go to Jesus and say, okay, it's got to be you or it's not going to happen. And I got to realize that he's not wanting a dud today. And if Christ shows up and somebody shows up willing, he's going to do something. It doesn't have to be the best script, and it doesn't have to be the best plan, and it just doesn't have to be the best sermon I've ever preached. It just has to be a willing vessel willing to open their mouths and preach what God's laid on their hearts. And I'm not going to lie, when I'm coming in to preach a literal message today, I, in my fear, think that people are going to tune me out and write me off. But when God puts a literal message on a mind, it's for a reason, and even if it's for one person, that one person may be used by God to change an entire world. If we don't believe that, then why does Time Magazine have these top 100 influential of all time people lists that is all the time going, which by the way, they even put Jesus Christ on. But the thing is they have this, hey, this person influenced the world. I mean, if I threw out some names, some of you would understand it. We'd say names like Gandhi, which I'm not saying, I agree with everything everybody does. We'd say names like Hitler, everybody knows who that is. Did that impact the world? Right now, there's one name that everybody knows, Putin. Sounds like a bowel movement, but that's about it. Right now, that's kind of my feelings toward him. The reality is, everybody knows that name. Why? Because that one person is making a major impact on the world. If you don't believe it, go fill up your gas today. If you don't believe it, turn on the news. Now, I understand you can't believe everything you see, but one person with blood running down their face that didn't need blood running down their face is enough for me to say this shouldn't happen. And instead of sitting here saying, oh, I can't stand what he's doing, the question needs to be, God, what do we need to do? What are you wanting to do through us? How can we do something here? How can we help the hurting? Every time I see a riot in the streets, what can we do? What can we do? Every time we see a generation or a nation or a people divided, even people I disagree with, what can we do to meet their needs or to introduce them to Jesus? By the way, when people are at their worst, they're the most open to receive anything that would help them. Are you following this? Some of you need to understand that preaching to the religious is worthless. Jesus would even say, I don't go to the healthy, they don't need a doctor. Matter of fact, I love it that he eats with scum, and I am one of those. And the reality is that if Jesus was walking through this service today, some of you think you've got it and you've got all the answers and this is beneath you, and he would say, fine, do your own thing. But to those of you that feel broken and weak, he would know exactly where you're sitting and know exactly where you are, and he would minister exactly to your needs. I mean, have you ever read the Gospels and just looked at how creative Jesus was with his sermons? When he was speaking to a crowd of shepherds, he would use a shepherd analogy. When he was speaking to a group of farmers, he would talk about farming. When he was in the synagogues, he would talk about Sabbath and different other things and the holiness of God. He knew who he was talking to, and he didn't talk above them. He talked to them. And I'm telling you right now, you may feel here, but that's exactly where God will meet you and elevate you from your standing. But you've got to have a surrender to say, okay, if you've given me this ability, I'll use it. Write it down, even when I'm scared, even when it doesn't make sense, even when I don't believe it'll be well received, I'll use it. To a lot or to a few, I'll use it. I find this to be true. A lot of people want to start a small group or a life group, but they always want it to start successfully. Very few want to start organically. Organically means you may be the only one that shows up for the first couple weeks. You may be the only one doing something for a while, and that is okay. Let's put it this way. Jesus was the only one that knew the true plan of salvation before anybody else even became aware. He was the Lone Ranger, if you would, of the cross. Would you agree with me today? And because he did what he did, we have what we have, and we should celebrate that. But nobody else even knew the gospel. Even the Bible said that disciples did not even understand some of the things he was saying until after he rose from the grave. I mean, he was preaching messages to eyes that were just blank and minds that were overloaded. He was saying things that they couldn't even grasp. But it did not stop him because the call on his life was great and he knew that the results would be worth it. And so even if Daniel is going to be the only one that goes into a lion's den, he's going to stay consistent in the abilities and callings that God has given him because that is what he is called to do. Stop trying to be someone else or something else than God and what God has tried to make you and created you to be. Be exactly what God has called you to be and watch God do everything else around you. How many of you have ever done something simple and saw it grow into something amazing and you look back and you realize that without God that wasn't possible? I mean, are you there? Have you ever had that moment to where it's like somebody's coming up to you and saying, I just want to tell you, what you said just totally changed my life. And you're like, what did I even say? Like, what did I even do? Have you ever given $20 to somebody and gain a friend for life? And you're sitting there and you're thinking, man, I didn't even do much. But the next thing you know, that God has taken it just like that little boy's sack lunch and broken it, multiplied it, and now families are together. Hey, I pray that 10 years from now, people are walking up to you, confessing and proclaiming the goodness of God in seeds that you planted that you didn't even know you sowed. Because you were just about the king's business, protecting the king's interest. Now, I'm going to give you this and we'll be done, all right? In verse number 4, it says, then the other administrators and high officers began searching for some fault in the way that Daniel was handling what? Okay, so mark those words out and put it this. Other people started trying to find out what was wrong with the way Daniel did his job. Right? They're trying to figure out his secular life. I feel like a lot of times we come in here and talk about our spiritual life and we forget to translate that this should roll into our secular life. And the Bible says that he was three things, and I want you to write them down, and this is what we're going to look at today and we'll be out. He was faithful, responsible, and completely trustworthy. Faithful, responsible, and completely trustworthy. I'm going to get real. Some of you will not like it. I'm going to give you a little disclaimer. If you do not like it, it's because the Holy Spirit's calling you to change, and I'm confident of that. It will not bother you if you've already surrendered to the sermon. But we are living in an America where we're waiting on the government to send us checks instead of getting up and going to work. Our workforce is the most depleted it's ever been in the national history. It's the lowest it has ever been. And we complain because we think the government needs to send us another stimulus. And we complain because we think that they need to step in. You're saying you're getting political. No, let's get real. You know what the Bible says? He was faithful. You know what I write? Some of you are saying, oh, he was loyal. No, it meant this. Write it down. He showed up for work. Daniel went to work. He didn't make an excuse. He didn't write off things. Some of you are already shaking your head. He didn't turn down the ability to work. Now, is there disability in our world? Talk to me. Yes. Are there people that cannot work? Absolutely, yes. But I'm going to be honest with you. There's a lot of people hanging on to excuses of why they cannot work that have full ability to work and are wasting God-given opportunities to make a difference in the world, laying in their beds and sitting on their couches. It needs to change. We need to understand that God has not gifted you with the ability to walk and to breathe so that you would be a hermit in your house. God has not given you. Now, understand this. Write this down and please get it. Work is not your worth. It shouldn't be all you do. All right? It shouldn't be. Wade actually told me on Friday to go home and go to bed. You know what I did? And some of you might not like this. I went home and I slept till 2:30 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I woke up feeling totally guilty for taking that morning off. And then he started quoting, God commanded a Sabbath. He commanded a Sabbath. And in our lives, sometimes we feel like if we're not always doing, then we're messing something up. But God did not call you to be the savior of the world. He gave that title to Jesus. He just called us to be a reflection of the savior of the world and somebody that points to the savior of the world. And we need to raise a generation of workers. If you have the ability to work, go to work. That's what Daniel did. Because they came at him and they said, I want to find something wrong with this guy. And let's examine what he does. Let's examine his responsibility. Let's examine how he handles himself in the secular world. And you know what they found? He clocked in when he was supposed to. He did what he was supposed to. Church, understand this. Generations, listen to me. Stop wishing you could get ahead when you could get out there and actually get ahead. Stop wishing something would be given to you that you could go out there and earn. Hey, the only thing given freely is salvation. What you do with it is up to you. God's given you ability and God's given you strength and God's given you help. I'm gonna be honest with you right now. America, if today churches were made illegal, would start complaining like crazy. And the ones that would be complaining are the ones sitting at home right now. If God's given you the ability to go worship and fellowship, go worship and fellowship. Be there. I've said it before, another little controversial statement. Stop telling me you're scared of COVID when you're still going to Walmart. Stop telling me you're scared of everybody else when you're still there. I understand it. I mean, there's different circumstances. We're in one of those. We got a newborn right now. We're going to give it 4 weeks before we bring the newborn around. We're going to give it a few and different things. There's times when your immune systems are down. Let's understand there's always exceptions. These aren't blanket statements. But these are very real things. We have a workforce of Christians who are not faithful to using the abilities that God has given them. I'm going to take a step further. If you have a job, tithe. Give. And I'll say it like this. I don't care where you give. Because the kingdom is the kingdom. But how many orphans could be reached? The Bible says if you've been given a lot, give a lot. If you've been given a little, give a little. Some of us don't like that because we don't give. And I'm going to be honest with you. If you're making $2,000 a week and you're dropping a 20 in the plate, you're not right with God. Be honest with you, just straightforward. I'm not coming at you from somebody who doesn't tithe. I love to give. Matter of fact, I told Chris this morning, I'm writing more checks out than I have coming in. But God always meets us there. This is where you lose a church. By the way, I'll say this, and I'll be very straightforward. A lot of people have no problem asking the church for money, but have a hard time giving the church money. And when the church can't give them money because they never gave, they tear down the church. And I'm saying this, God has given, Bible says, every tool necessary is in this place today. Do you understand now why I didn't want to come to the sermon today? And why I told God, let's talk about the lion's den. Let's talk about the God that rescues and the God that saves and let's get the church amped. But I'll be honest with you, I feel like we need to get the church revamped. And in order to do that, we gotta take some things seriously. Write it down, please get it. You cannot outgive God, and I beg you to try. I beg you to try and just watch what God can do. We have ministries that come to us and ask us to support their ministries, and we will support their ministries. But I'm going to tell you this now. It's very discouraging when someone's demanding something they're not willing to give. If you don't believe in that, then how many of you have employees that won't show up that still want a paycheck? And how many of you are like, no. But yet we want to go to God and ask God to give us blessings when that's the only time we actually even go to God. And when God's coming to us and asking us to step out or take a risk or take a step of faith, we say no. You know what I love about God is God is giving even when you're not. And God is loving even when we're not. And God is faithful even when we're not. But I'm going to be honest with you. You want to unlock the power of God in your life? Surrender your life to God. Don't just make it about what God can do for you. Make it about what you can do for the Lord. Serve him. You know, you say, are you still a money? No, I'm simply saying this. Give your time. Give your effort. Give your energy. Give your creativity. We tell the kids all the time, don't have an idea and let it only be an idea. How many good ideas are buried in our graveyards because all they did was ever thought about what could happen and never did anything with what they were thinking? I mean, we need a generation that says, I believe, therefore I step. And because I take the step, I believe that God will be there the next step I take. And I'm just going to keep walking until I run out of runway. And I know this, that there will never be a step I take in the will of God that doesn't find a solid foundation underneath my feet. Because God does not forsake his own. Number two, he was responsible. All right, so here's what I wrote in my notes. Not only was he faithful, he went to work. He was responsible. He did his work. All right, let's meddle again. You are robbing from your boss when you're hanging out in the break room 5 extra minutes. Are you with me? By the way, let's put it in, we're spiritual today, so let's be spiritual. You're sinning when you're stealing from the time clock. You're a poor representation of who God is. When you are taking advantage of the ability that somebody else is giving you from their profits, giving you money, and you say, well, I earned their profits. If they didn't start the business, you'd have nothing to earn. Somebody don't leave me alone on the stage today. How many of you own companies? Just say amen. All right, very quietly, they don't want you to come ask for money. All right, here's the thing. How many of you own companies? Say amen. Say it loud. Amen. All right, there we go. How many of you all the time have to say, put your phone up? Or how many of you, Jacob, have you had to ban phones from the workplace? You're close. Yeah. Yeah, I know. I knew that was coming, and he's not here, so that's okay. But here's the thing. It's like, hey, I remember... Bobby used to walk around here when we were remodeling the church, and he would say, don't let that phone get your job. Don't let that phone get your job. I'll never forget it. You know what he's saying? Is we didn't hire you to stand around and do this all day. We hired you to work. You know what I find is a lot of people get jealous of the ones that are actually working, because the ones that are actually using their abilities are the ones that are actually being blessed and getting ahead. Children, listen to me. One of the greatest things you need to learn, you're being raised in a society that teaches you entitlement, that you are owed something by the world. That you are owed something based on race. You're owed something based on social standing. You're owed something based on who you are. You are not owed anything, but you can make something out of yourself today. And you can earn something, and you can go somewhere. You can spend your whole life believing you deserve more and never get anything. Or you can build your whole life getting up early, putting on your clothes, being faithful, and being responsible, and watch God honor your work ethic. I think it's time we preach some sermons from our pulpits that God is just as much in your workplace as he is in your place of worship. That God is just as real in your car, just as real in your job sites as he is here. And he should be reverenced here. And I hear people say, we should honor God in our churches. No, I beg to differ. We'll never honor God in our churches if we're not honoring him in our homes and when we go to work. It'll never happen here until it happens out there. What happens out there will come in here. You don't live here. You're only here 2 hours a week. But where you're at, 40 hours, 50 hours, 60 hours, that's where real happens. And we need Christians to have a real encounter with God and raise up and say, I may not feel like it today, but I'm going to honor him in the way that I live, in the way that I go to work today. And Daniel was promoted. He had a great spirit in him, but he was faithful. He went to work. He was responsible. He did the work. And by the way, responsibility means you can be trusted. That's where the next one comes in, right? He was completely trustworthy. Faithful, he went. Responsible, he did. Trustworthy, oh, I wrote it down and we'll close with this. He was honest in how he did it. He was honest in how he did it. I work in an industry outside of here that can be very backstabbing. Very step on somebody to get ahead. Now, I'm not the only one. How many of you work in an industry where people try to get ahead, tearing other people down? Don't do it. It's not an honest way to work. You say, well, they don't see me. You do not have to tear somebody down to be seen. Matter of fact, that's going to draw the attention you don't want. Let's put it this way. You reap what you sow, and you always gain more back than what you sowed. And if you're tearing other people down, guess what's coming your way? maybe tear down. I've heard a lot of business owners say this, that they cut out their viruses. You know what they're saying? It's the person that's going around and talking to people saying, well, if this was my business, or I would this and that and the other. When the boss hears about that, they fire. You say, well, I had good reason. This is what they did. Can I tell you this right now? If there's a rotten apple in the bushel, don't try to rehab it in the bushel. Because while you're trying to wait on that rotten apple to get better, the others are getting worse. And so you know what they'll do? They'll dump out the good ones, keep them, and move forward, and they discard the rotten. God, help me. If the church is any reflection of how Christians are in the workplace, then there are a lot of people who really love to point out other people's sins more than dealing with their own. And if that's what we do here, who are we there? Are you with me? Are you honest enough to do the work right? You may be a slower increase or a slower race, but at least at the end of the day, you can lay your head down on your pillow with your conscience clean. And I told a client the other day, I said, I want to do two things. I want to go to bed tonight with my conscience clean and stand before God with my hands clean one day. And so by doing that, I'm not going to lie to you, and I'm not going to tell you something that's not true. I'm not going to tell you to buy a home that I think is falling apart. I mean, you're not a commission. Matter of fact, I don't do a lot of work for people in the church. You know why? Because you're not a number. The reason is hey, we've got to look and we've got to realize that there's got to be a separation, and we got to understand that your profitability doesn't come from what you make. It comes from what you're storing up in heaven and the things that you're doing for the Lord. When we stand before God, he's not going to look at U.S. Bank and see what I have in the bank account. He's not going to look at the house and see how many square feet I have. God is not watching the truck I drive to today and saying, oh, I'm so proud of you. By the way, parents, let's learn to applaud the right things in a child's life. I mean, yesterday I drove all the way to Nashville just to bring home a trophy, and now I'm like, what do I do with this? I'm a 37-year-old man. Nobody cares that I have a trophy. Are you with me? So the thing is I'm going to say all my high school trophies, my athlete of the year, my junior high this of the year, my MVP of the basketball team, who cares? Nobody. And if I brought them today and set them on display, y'all would probably go home and say, man, this guy needs to grow up. Am I right? Your laughter proves that to be true. The reality is this, the only thing that's going to matter is the opinion of God when our children stand before God. So let's applaud what matters. Hey, I'm proud of you for going to youth. I'm proud of you for teaching today. I'm proud of your testimony. I'm proud of you for singing. I'm proud of how you were. Hey, your teacher said that you're kind to other students. I'm proud of that. Hey, somebody said that you showed up and you did this and you gave yourself. I'm proud of that. Let's be proud of the right things that matter so that one day, through the pride we have in our children and the encouragement we have, they'll stand before the ultimate Father and hear, well done, you good and faithful servant, because God is not interested in if they make the MBA today. He's interested in what we do with the life we've been given to impact the lives of others. Daniel was faithful. He went to work. He was responsible. He did his work. He was trustworthy. He was honest in the way he did it. Write this down and we're out. Third time's a charm. Don't step on somebody's back to get ahead. Don't step on somebody's back to get ahead. Don't lie. It never works out. One of the worst things that I hate when I get together with pastors is all of a sudden they start muscle flexing. And it normally sounds like this. How many did you have Sunday? Or, our parking lot was full. God's really moving. And then all of a sudden you see this little guy over here with a 20-member church that's doing way more for the kingdom than this person with 1,000. And you know what I notice is they're normally silent. Or when they start to talk, it doesn't sound like this is how many we had at church. It'll be like, hey, you know what? We saw one little boy accept Christ this week. Well, that matters more than how many you had in church today, doesn't it? We saw one marriage restored, one husband step up and become the man that he's supposed to be. I know that we look at these words and we think, yeah, this applies to marriage and relationships, but if we read the scripture, this is in context of business, isn't it? And I feel like we wonder why people aren't coming to God. It's because we're thinking that in order to go to God, they have to go to our churches instead of realizing that everywhere we go, we take God with us. And the only version of God they're seeing is the one they're living out when they're reading our Facebook or they're seeing our tweets or they're watching our Snapchat. And by the way, I'm telling you now, I can't stand it. Every time I go to a kid and try to look at, you know, hey, hand me your phone, they freak out because they don't want somebody to see their Snapchat. Wake up, parents. Wake up. I mean, hey, it's like this. If they got a problem giving it to you, it's probably because there's a problem with something on it. And you say, well, what are you thinking? Why do you say this? I had one kid Wednesday night. I said, everybody put your phone in the box because we take up phones at youth. Just so you know, if your kid comes to youth, you cannot reach them until youth is over. You say, that's legalistic. Nope. I don't care what you call it. I'm not going to let some little girl come get somebody else's phone, go to the bathroom, and text an overage man who's trying to come and abduct them from our parking lot. It's happened, and it's not going to happen anymore. We're going to sit there. They didn't get abducted, but they have borrowed phones, and they have done those things. I don't want your child introduced to pornography here. It's one of the reasons why with our media department, they're trying to find ways to give you access to our internet. And I'm sitting there saying, are we sure about this? Are we sure about this? Are we sure about this? And so DJ and them are building a network that'll keep you off of YouTube. Keep you off of things that'll keep you, why? You say, that's so mean. No, 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 it's like this. Hey, listen, if you're going to go to hell or you're going to get on the highway of destruction, it's not going to be from here. Does that make sense? We're going to put standards in way. So I told this little boy Wednesday, he came in, I said, put your phone in the box. He said, I love you, but that ain't happening. And he put it in his pocket. And I told him, I said, if I tell you my why, will you just do it? So he goes over and he puts it in, and I told him why. And he said, okay, you can have it. The reason is this, it's not about you. I'm going to say this, your job is not about you. By the way, God gave you your job to be able to eat, to be able to clothe, and to be able to give. He didn't give you your job so that you could live at work. Now, I'm going to be honest with you, I've got to change some things in my life when it comes to that. Some of you need to change some things in your life when it comes to that. They will not bury us in our cars. It's too expensive to dig a hole that big. Am I right? They will not bury you in your fine jewelry. They'll keep it and sell it and pawn it or use it for themselves. Church, what you do for the Lord, that's what matters. And I promise you, I challenge you, give your life to the Lord and watch him give you a life that you never dreamed was possible. Give your family to the Lord and watch him do something. Give your sin to God and watch him take it away. Just put some faith in God and watch him transform you into something new and something that you never dreamed you could be. But it's time we raise a generation of workers. As they wrote in the New Testament, fields are white to harvest. The laborers are few. Pray that God would send us workers. Pray that God would send us people that would do it. Today, it was heavy on my heart, this statement. That I am praying and hoping that maybe what God does today in just a simple sermon could change what he's able to do tomorrow. When the alarm clock rings and we head to work our separate ways. Oh, that it could be said of each of you at the end of tomorrow that the enemy tried to find a glitch in the way you worked, but all they could find is let's attack their faith because we're not going to get them this way. You know what the Bible says happened. So they concluded, and this is it, verse 5. Our only chance of finding grounds for accusing Daniel will be in connection with the rules of his religion. You know what they're saying? He's so godly that we're going to have to take him down that way. And by the way, anybody that wants to challenge God to take you down is going to lose. And that is why it may not be the easiest place to be in the center of God's will, and it may not be the safest place to be in the center of God's will because it has its own challenges. But the most protected place to be It's right smack dab where God wants you to be. Let's read the last verse of the chapter. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. This Daniel who was faithful. This Daniel who was trustworthy. This Daniel who was responsible. Let's raise a generation and let's be a generation of people that say, it's not about how I feel today. It's about what I've been called to today. So I will go give it my best. I would say this for Daniel. Let me speak for him. And I don't normally do this. I would say that he would have much rather been a ruler in Jerusalem than a ruler in captivity. But if captivity was where God was going to raise him, then in captivity he was going to serve the Lord. And you may say, I hate my job. Hey, serve God there. And watch God take you one day to somewhere else. But don't be lazy here with an entitlement mentality saying, well, if God truly loved me, he would take me there. Be faithful here. And watch what God does through that faithfulness. Amen? Bow your heads, close your eyes, and nobody look around. I know today was a very direct sermon, but how do you escape that? We could just blow through it, but it's in the Bible, right? And by the way, let's make this a motto. If it's in the Bible, may it be in us. If it's in the Bible, God, may it be in us. Maybe some of you today just need to surrender to a life of diligence in your work. Maybe some of you need to take a step of faith and step into the abilities that God has put in. What gift has God given you, and how are you using it, and how are you growing through it? Are you trusting God? If it's just a little small gift, are you thankful for the gift and using it for his kingdom? But can it be said of you that you're faithful? Can it be said of you that you're responsible? And can it be said of you that you're trustworthy in the way that you work? And if it cannot, do not leave condemned today. There's no condemnation in Jesus. Isn't that what Romans 8 teaches us? There's no condemnation there. You say, well, then why do I feel condemned? Because there's a part of your life that needs to change. And right now you're wanting to hang on to your way instead of surrendering to God's way. And you are the one condemning you, nobody else. Because in one decision, you can change the trajectory of your faith. In one decision, you can say, okay, I will. I will go, I will grow, I will sow, I will do what God has called me to do. You could have been the worst employee yesterday. Go tomorrow and apologize to your boss and become the best one that he's ever seen, the best one she's ever had. Go tomorrow and just be honest. I'll be honest with you. What kind of testimony would you have to sit across from your employer and say, you know what, I've cheated you on the time clock, or I've taken advantage of this, or I've been a backstabber, or I've this, but no more. I got convicted by God and I'm not going to be that person anymore, and I just want you to know I'm gonna do right. And I want you to hold me accountable. I don't want you to take it easy on me. I want you to push me. I want you to watch me. And when you see these weaknesses in me, point them out. And I promise you, God will honor it. But don't just say it. Back it up with the way you live. So I make a decision, and then I take a step. I make a decision, surrender it, take a step. Decide, follow through. Because a decision without an action is worthless. It's time for the church to come back to both healthy living in the church and out of the church, in the workplace and in the home. Work. Go to work.